That was embarrassing to show that on camera, I realize. Oh, wait, not that embarrassing. We're not disgusting here. Just my banger is. It's fine. It's fine. And if you guys are ever in Denver, if you motherfucking check out the Denver Kush Club, they got hella good deals. But anyway, getting into it, especially with live resin. All right, done. I have comedy coming up this next year. I have two shows that are private, so you can't come. My bad. I didn't mean to say it like that. You can't come. However, this upcoming new year, I'm starting to get booked on shows. And as soon as I have everything confirmed, I have even more exciting news. But today's guest, very impressive, very fun to talk to, all that kind of stuff, you know. Their producer goes by Mess. And I'll let you hear about all the information, you know, in the interview, you know, because that's what I do. It was cool to see a different perspective of the EDM community, you know what I mean? Because Denver, I feel like we're chef's kiss right in the middle of it, you know? I don't know. But it's fun. Oh, I just remembered that ADD is kicking in after this dab, guys. It's okay.
It wants us to know.
Yeah.
Like, heard.
For sure. Heard. Oh, man. Welcome to the show. Okay, so I know that your name is Michael, but how do you say your producer name? Because I will butcher the fuck out of it.
So I say Mess. It's basically just like the word mess. Like, I am a mess, M-E-S-S, but one less S.
Oh, I like
and,
that.
Yeah, it's just my initials. So, Michael E. Shapiro, to me, I don't know, other people might have other opinions, but to me that sounds like a lawyer. Or like a doctor. So I don't think I would see, like, many Michael E. Shapiros on festival lineups. So we just went with mess, and it's kind of like dual meaning, because I am a mess sometimes.
I feel like that's a relatable message, too, all by itself.
For sure. Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me, too. I'm super stoked to be talking.
Yeah, for sure. I finally get to have the East Coaster on the show, which seems like history kind of thing. Just like Googling you and stuff. You started producing pretty young. What kind of made you take that leap, you know?
Yeah, well, it's kind of an interesting story. Like, I've always been into creative things. I started off doing, like, photo video stuff, probably, I want to say, well, I've done photo video stuff for years. I used to do, like, travel videography, travel photography, and I did stuff, like, you know, for hotels. My sister used to be a flight attendant, so I used to just have the luxury, and I was fortunate enough to bop around and film travel videos, and that kind of is what, like, fueled my love for that. And that kind of eventually led into me doing more stuff on the creative side. So I kind of transitioned from doing travel videos to then doing more music videos and music direction. And I did, like, some music videos for Monster Cat and a few other artists like Leah Culver and some other people in the scene. And I think it wasn't until I was filming live shows and getting booked in that area that I realized there's really, like, nothing that sets another person apart from anyone else. Everyone starts somewhere. So I've always had, like, the burning desire to make music. It just seemed like something that was kind of, I'm trying to think about the best way to say it. It seems like something that was unachievable in my mind. And it wasn't until I kind of, like, found myself in a new mentality of this universe really is bountiful, and, like, everyone starts somewhere. We can learn these things. Everyone is so the same at the end of the day to our core. And so many of the people that are successful now were having the same revelations at some point in their life. So I think that was kind of like the turning point for me.
More like a specific turning point
was when COVID hit. I have a very, obviously, like,
COVID was a very, like, traumatic time for a lot of people, but I think I have a hot take on the situation. And it's not to
say that it wasn't a bad time, which it was for so many people for so many reasons, but for me it's like when I was able to disconnect from society, take time, like there were no bookings happening for my job. I was fortunate enough to be living with my parents, so I really used my time resourcefully and decided, you know, if I'm going to learn this shit, I'm going to dive right into it. I'm going to take time. And I started learning like a literal psychopath. Like, I would spend 15 hours a day watching YouTube videos, then immediately going and applying it and doing a lot of trial and error. And, you know, I feel like me included and so many people that are so far ahead of me, in my opinion, in their careers already, more seasoned, are still learning every day. So it's kind of inspiring. It's like there's always more to learn. And yeah, that's pretty much what got me into it. Like one specific person, my friend Leah, while she didn't like teach me how to make music, she was one of the people that I got really close with. And she was such an inspiring person. She still is inspiring to me, but really helped me break into the scene and learn, like, you know, I can do this.
Yeah. Did you like start to feel more comfortable the longer you got into it? Like, I mean,
for sure.
5 years.
Well, in terms of what?
But like, just
totally
stacked resume for 5 years. Like,
oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, yeah. I am.
So, with your question, do you mean in terms of comfortable in the industry as a whole and growing, or like in terms of my craft?
I would say, like, your craft and yourself. I just ask because I relate to
yeah.
it with, like, comedy and stuff for myself.
Like, yeah, I feel you.
After I did
well,
it
I'm...
a year and I started getting real, like, the confidence actually came through in real life, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you do comedy as well?
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah,
okay,
I like
we'll have a lot to talk about then.
yeah, so I would say, to answer your question, I'm kind of a perfectionist. I'm one of those people that's very calculated, very strategic, likes to have a plan to a degree. I enjoy an element of spontaneity, but, like, when it comes to, like, the longevity of my career and figuring out my life, I'm the type of person that's very calculated. So I decided, you know, even if it does feel like a burden, I'm going to take the time to learn before I decide to, like, before I reach the point of confidence to branch out and start doing shows as to not overwhelm my plate. I think there's no right or wrong way to do it. Like, I know so many DJs that start as DJs, and they're growing in the local scene, and then, you know, decide, okay, well, in order to elevate and grow and on a national scale and build the brand I want to build and reach the audience I want to reach, a lot of them end up learning production. So I found my route was a little different. Like, I was kind of already tapped in and had a connections base. So I thought, you know, I might as well perfect my craft since I already have some eyes on me in another area. Mm-hmm. So I would say, like, the confidence came probably after a year I started gaining confidence. But it's kind of funny because, you know, come 3 months later, you're like, wow. That was shit. So that's kind of like, it's like the ongoing battle of being an artist and being someone that likes to strive near perfection. I don't believe in, like, full professionalism. But yeah, I would say, like, the confidence started around there, and it's just kind of continued. And sometimes I think back to myself, like, damn, how was I confident? But thank God I was confident. Do you know what I mean? And
no,
I'm sure you're for me, I'm going to feel the exact same way.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool and exciting.
Stage presence. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, same. I'm like, literally interrupt me, shove me, do whatever you have to do. Like, period. To answer your question, in all realms, like production, still growing and learning. I think a lot of people that I talk to say the same thing. I don't feel this is speaking for someone else, but I talked to my buddy Lee, this guy Dirty Snatcha, who a lot of people in the scene might know. He still says he's learning and growing. And that to me is super inspiring. And, you know, I look back at videos. I've only been doing shows now for a year. So kind of looping back, I like a year and a month, I decided to take the first 4 years to perfect the production as much as I could in that time. And then get some exciting releases under my belt to where I could, like, you know, the year I start doing shows, I can start pushing the music kind of thing. So I look back at videos of myself a year ago, and I'm like, ooh, we're going to archive this on Instagram, because, like, either I'm like, like, either I'm doing the most on the mic, or my movements are just like, I don't know. But
yeah,
I think that's, like, part of what's cool, too, is to evolve and grow and learn from experiences.
Yeah, I feel like if you're not growing in, like, even if you're at the top of the game, that you're not really doing it right. I don't know. That's
for sure. No, it's a fact.
I don't know. Yeah.
No, I would say that's a fact. Because you can kind of reach where you're at, being at the top of the game. But if you're not willing to continue to grow, learn, evolve, you're going to fizzle out. And it's like even less so from solely like a craft standpoint, but the social outlets, like, there's new generations coming in, things are evolving, you have to either stay with it, or you're not going to be with it.
Yeah, no, I get that. So, with you being 25, do you get shit for being, like, a Gen Z-er producer, kind of, like, I just have to ask as a moment, like, I know, I see it in the comedy scene, so I feel like it's probably not that far off.
Yeah, but... well, I will say, like, most of my friends that are doing it are older than me. I don't know. I think every now and then I'll get a comment. If anything, if someone comments on me being young, it's more of like an honored thing for me. I'm like, wow, that makes me feel good. But, you know, there's people out here now that are 15, 16, 17, even younger, that just have, like, are fortunate enough to be able to start young because the technology is available. I think the difference is, like, a lot of my friends who are seeing success in it that are, you know, in their mid-30s, which I'm seeing kind of a pattern, like, that's a lot of people. A lot of them talk about, you know, X, Y, and Z wasn't readily available in terms of, like, the technology behind the software that we use to make music. So I think because it's so accessible now, like, people really are learning at a much younger age. So I guess to answer your question, it doesn't bother me. I do get it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we're all humans, and I think, you know, the number of years of experience is more so the important thing than your actual age, if that makes sense.
No, yeah. You take that so eloquently. I like to ask it just to see, you know, and, like,
yeah. No, I appreciate it.
Age, you know?
Dude, literally, ask me anything. We can dive in. I'm here for it.
So, with an how would you say the EDM scene is in Atlanta in general? Because I know, like, I've heard things, but I've also, like, I, like, it's so hard to compare to Denver, because you can, like, literally go to a show pretty much every night of the week.
I would say Atlanta and Denver are very similar, actually. Okay. Like, I find that, like, it's Denver is, like, definitely a hot spot. I think Atlanta is as well. Denver is definitely becoming more saturated. It's tough. I think it's obviously a very loaded question because I could definitely say some things that I'd get in trouble for saying, and I'm gonna stay.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay out of those. Cool, not.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the tea is lovely, but maybe not on a public podcast.
Public forum. That's a smart bet.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's very saturated. It's very competitive. I think you really. I think this probably goes for a lot of cities. In general, a lot of industries within those cities, but especially in the artistic community, you really have to find something that makes you stand apart from the crowd in order to have your voice heard. Something that I've come to realize and I've also heard from a number of people is, like, it's a sad truth. Like, 80% of it is who you know. 20% of it is skill, if not 90-10.
Yeah.
And your ability to connect with people. I know countless people that are so incredibly talented that solely focus on their craft, and I do believe that they will see success, but I think the big picture is, like, being able to, like, connect, meet people, and I luckily have enough of a social battery that I can do that. I am, like, an introverted extrovert to a degree, so I need my recharge time, but... it's really competitive, and you have to have something that... allows you to stand apart a little bit. For me, it's that, and this is also becoming more of a thing now, too, so I would expect to see more of this, but I do live vocals during my sets, not during all of the songs. Oftentimes, I also bring an instrumentalist to play guitar, and I think that adds, like, a different dynamic, at least, hopefully I'm not giving anyone ideas, but I think in Atlanta, particularly, a lot of the people that play who are also incredibly talented, primarily either producer, DJ, and I try and bring some other live elements into the mix, and I think that to promoters and booking agents has been something that appealed.
Yeah, I also feel like classic music heads are like, oh, DJs are just push buttons, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, oh, no. Dude, they do so much more than that. Fuck off. Like,
yeah, it's intricate. It's really intricate. And I can tell you for sure, like, if a promoter sees you, especially, like, you know, in the up-and-coming days of your career, just hitting play and pause and having a pre-made hour set, it's not going to fly. And people, I think it's received in the crowd. They can tell when you're doing intricate things live to make it interesting, and also feeling the energy. Like, it's a lot. I'm a big planner. Smaller shows, I kind of go into it, and I'm like, this is going to be fun. I'm going to feel all the vibes. We're just going to do it. But some of the bigger bookings I've had, like, I've had the honor of closing for, you know, Nightmare, Borgor, Kayvon, some other really cool people. Those I've very much pre-calculated down to, you know, like, where transitions are going to be, where I'm going to, like, give myself, you know, my 45 seconds to talk and connect with the crowd and
stuff like that.
But given, you know, in the live setting, you might be feeling something, feeling an energy from the crowd, seeing what's being received in what way, and kind of switch it up. So you kind of have to, like, be able to adjust on the fly, I'd say.
Yeah, I, as a comic, can definitely relate to that too, so cool.
Oh my gosh, I'm sure you can on another level. On another level. Because it's...
I mean, yes and no, sometimes people are just, like, too fucking nice to your face, and it's just, like, keep going, but it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I would think, like, with what you do, like, it's kind of interesting, because with music, you kind of can know going into the venue or even going into the city what they like to consume, like, what genre they like to consume, and, like, kind of adjust based on that. Even if you're in a certain lane, like, you can adjust within that lane to appeal. Whereas, like, comedy, it's like, you really have to feel that particular room's sense of humor, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, I had a point where I did a joke about short guys, and I'm tall as shit, so, like, I didn't realize everyone was short because they were all sitting down, and then I'm like, oh, this makes sense now.
No, oh my god, they should take it. That's the whole thing with comedy. It's like, you know, I mean, you don't want to,
I was going to say, I feel like there's just so many similarities with, like, music and comedy, because, like, it's performing arts in some way.
Yeah, dude.
I don't know.
And overarchingly, it's entrepreneurship. It's like you're taking control of your own career, and there's so many similarities between that, even going into, like, real business venture. Because, like, you really are we're trying to be self-sufficient and grow a business. The business is you.
Yeah. And your brand. Do you find it hard to, like, market yourself?
I don't find it hard to market myself. I'll say, like, one thing that helps me the most is tuning out the noise on the outside. Kind of like making sure this is still recording. Tuning out the noise on the outside and focusing on, like, what I want to put out. Obviously, consuming enough to know what people are liking, but kind of avoiding the comparison side of stuff. And there's so many trends and there's so many rights or wrongs. I'm sure I'm gonna have to continue to adapt. But I don't find it hard. I find it sometimes unenjoyable. And that's just me being as honest as I could possibly be, because I think any artist's dream is to be able to solely focus on the art. It is such a layered situation when it comes to releasing music, because you have to promote it. You have to get word out about shows, X, Y, and Z. Now I'm getting some national bookings, and they want to see, you know, what size crowd are you pulling? How many people are clicking on your stories to go buy tickets? Things like
that.
Exactly. So there's some pressure to a degree, but I think it's like one of the things that I try to remind myself is there's always going to be someone ahead of you. There's always going to be someone behind you. There's always going to be someone that wants to be exactly where you are, just the way you want to be where someone else is. And also knowing, like, why you're doing it. Like, obviously, any artist's dream is to not only be impactful, but be profitable with what they're doing enough to sustain, like, their life, their livelihood, their, you know, everything that they're doing. So there's definitely pressure associated with it, but you just have to kind of keep going.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I stand on it.
What kind of impact would you want your music to, like, it could be, I know it's probably a changing thing every day, but, like, when you first started into music, what was, like?
So There's like, two answers to this question. From an overall standpoint,
I want to be impactful. I want to be the person that, you know, people can listen, and whether it's more of an instrumentally driven song, connect from the feeling state and what the feeling state is trying to evoke. Or if it's a vocally driven song, maybe they relate to the shared experience, and it can be a message where, you know, they know that they're not alone in what they've experienced. And that could be what really helps them in a situation. But from a personal standpoint, you know, with my branding and stuff like that, I would say I want to be impactful in the way of making social change. That's kind of where I am. I think I'm personally part of the LGBT community. I don't put it on a billboard because I don't feel that it's necessary. Like, I genuinely, like, I am me. It's like the whole coming out thing. I came out to people, but it's not like I don't need to make a big post about it. Like, we are as we are. But the point is, you know, within the industry itself, I want people to see, like, you don't have to be a straight white male to do it. You can be a gay male, you can be a female, you can be whatever you want. Also within that, I want to, you know, kind of break down the walls, which are already being broken down, of how the boxes that people are putting themselves in or feel like they have to put themselves in. Like, you can be a feminine straight guy and have masculine tendencies. You can be a masculine straight guy, not masculine, but just, you know, fluid, just themselves, and wear full faces of makeup. I think at the end of the day, it's just kind of about making people know that what they want to do in their life is not unachievable based on who they are and who they are meant to be as human beings, if that makes sense.
No, I like that. I like that a lot. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I know that was like a way deeper answer than you were probably expecting.
No,
That is like a big part of it.
But no, I totally agree with messages of like, the being yourself, and like, it does, like,
yeah,
how many straight white males are checking all these boxes and they've been doing it for so long. Like, maybe I just watched the Barbie movie recently. And, like, okay.
It's a toxic thing, and it's not, I'm not even referring to Atlanta. I think it is still a male dominated industry. Like, my whole team now is all females, from the agent that I have to the entire agency that she represents are all female run, female operated, as well as my manager. That's not to say I wouldn't work with, I work with plenty of straight people on music. But they're people who are confident in themselves, happy with themselves, and fully inclusive. I have unfortunately received plenty of energy from people that maybe aren't quite as inclusive in themselves. And that's just more telling of them, and it's just something that you're bound to experience, you know?
It's so hard to remind yourself of that kind of shit in the moment. At least for me, I'm like, okay, they're just not at the same vibe as I am, dude. I don't know.
For sure! For sure, yeah. Everyone's on a different wavelength, but I think, yeah, that's really, like, the main thing is, from an overarching standpoint, just to be impactful, from when it comes down to my music, for people to be able to connect, relate, cry, laugh, whatever emotion I'm trying to evoke in the song, and then overarching to really create change and, like, help pave a way and make people, I guess, like, biggest thing is to make people feel more heard and more valid in how they are, because I don't put myself in a box in any way, whether it be within my specific community, within my industry, within whatever it is. I think people should really, there's a lot of people who really need to, like, remember that the reason why they're beautiful is because they are literally themselves, because they're not conforming to, like, how they think they should be, you know?
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I also feel like with, like, so you have a very impactful message. How did, like, and you said that you're, oh, I can talk today. Wow. All right. We're good.
we love it.
Listen. I took a Vyvanse earlier because I have the worst ADHD, so that's probably the only reason why I'm articulating words right now. Otherwise, we'd be on a failed mission right now.
I feel like we're riding the same wavelength here, so that's
I love it. I love this galaxy behind you, too.
With your artistic process, though, like, how would you say, like, I feel like writing a song is a whole lot different than writing a new joke. Like,
yeah, well,
like, yes and no, but, like, I feel like there's different elements on your end.
The similarities, and this is also coming from someone who's not a professional comedian by any means. I would say the similarities are probably more so, you know, it's a release of energy.
Like you're putting out energy, built up energy,
regardless of what it is, whether it's coming out in humor, whether it's coming out in a different form of art. What was the specific question again?
The artistic process for you.
Like what it is like?
You do to like.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, just like any other artist, I definitely have my moments where I experience writer's block. I think one big thing for me is just collaborating with other people, learning what their techniques are in certain areas, and also giving myself enough time to just do self-care and take breaks where I need to. I think that was something that I struggled with for a long time. It was just, I was kind of, and I still, obviously, I'm a psychopath. I'm in this go mentality.
I want to keep growing, I want to keep learning, but yeah, but when your body has had its time and you're not feeling inspired, I you just should not force it. That's the biggest thing for me, is just taking time back. I think the time that you take to just think, reflect, and do all that is just as vital as the time you spend creating, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So just giving yourself that time. But if I'm like having writer's block, sometimes I'll literally go upside down on my head, like and like stand on my head where my head's on the ground and my feet are in the air, and it's kind of like the it's kind of like the psychology of like. You force yourself to think about something else, like, oh shit, I'm upside down right now. It's almost like hitting a reset in your mind, I think. That's my best inference on what that does.
No, that makes sense. Hell yeah.
But yeah, I like just setting the vibes right with the lighting and the aesthetic, and if I'm working with other people, just being with the right people. Because working with talented people and people that are going to help you grow is one thing, but... even more importantly, I think it's working with people that you like, or ideally both things together.
Yeah, when there's like good synergy, it's a little less.
Yeah,
like, what kind of thing?
Because I mean, why would we want to do something if we're gonna not enjoy the process?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think I might cut the questions there for today, just so that I can have some more for the next time you come on, because I'm optimistic you'll be in Colorado soon.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you want to plug any like shows coming up or like music
for
coming?
Sure.
I'd love to. Dude, there's a lot. I just released a super exciting song called Chase This Feeling. And it's a remix of a song by Leah Colbert. So me, her, and my friend James released it. He goes by Jet.
Okay.
And we just put that out a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago. I just put out one called There Goes My Heart, which is also with Jet. It's a very, very simple song. It's kind of about just being at a low point in your life. There's not many lyrics to it. It's more of one of those that I talked about before. It's more like a feeling state than anything else. And yeah, I have a couple other exciting ones. I have one with my buddy Dirty Snatcha that I think we're going to be putting out this coming year called Home, which is very different for me. It's written about more of a positive experience I had dating someone, which is a rarity.
Yeah, especially the men.
Yeah. And it's kind of more about the optimistic side of, like, you know, could this be the one? So it's more of a euphoric, happy song. And yeah, have a few others that are super exciting, a couple with this super talented guy, Matthew Clanton, who he's doing super well on Spotify right now. He's super talented, so you should definitely check out his shit also. But yeah, lots of exciting stuff. I'm talking with you today. I have a show in New York tomorrow, or 2 days from now.
Ooh.
Yeah, so we're just growing and evolving.
Okay. How do you stay like on track with everything? Like, that's my thing. With like, I'm like, oh, how is someone in LA today and New York in the same day? And like,
yeah, well, I think it's probably only gonna get progressively more difficult through the course of my career.
Sounds like a great problem to have, but
but I mean, I have a manager. She's really great, but for the most part, when it comes to my day to day, I like to either the morning of or the night before, just kind of make a simple, achievable list of things I want to do, things I want to get done. and obviously give myself the leeway if I don't get to everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, because you're not going to get everything done in a day. I think the days that I'm like, you know, we're going to finish this, and we're going to finish this, and we're going to have this call, and we're going to XYZ, hit the gym, do whatever else. Yeah. Those are the days I end up being the most stressed and the most unfulfilled at the end of the day. So, yeah, to answer your question, I don't know how, but we just do it. We just exist and we do it.
We out here.
We out here.
Another question I like to ask all my guests, and it's mostly because the show is kind of psychedelic themed in a way.
For sure. Ooh.
And I know where you are, so I'm not going to have you incriminate yourself, but if you were to describe yourself as a psychedelic, like, what would you be? And then the other part to that question is, if someone were on psychedelics at your show, which would be the most optimal?
I know. Oh my gosh, wait, I actually really like this question. Cops, like, knock at my door. cue the knocking. Cue the red and blue lights. So for me, I'm trying to think, I think I personally would be shrooms. Okay. I would be more of a flowy, content, non-anxiety, not overly visually stimulated, human being. Someone that's just, you know, having experiences and, you know, good thoughts about life, all that good stuff.
Hell yeah.
At my shows, however, I think they'd probably be on a combination of like acid and our dear friend Molly. I don't know if you've heard of her. Not even in the psychedelic family. Yeah. Again, this is not from my personal experiences. These are inferences on what I would think. Yes, hypotheticals, what have you. Yeah, I love that question. That's the first time I've ever been asked that. I love it.
Most of the time, no one really has ever thought about it, and I'm like, I don't mean to do it just two drugs, but I failed the fuck out of the DARE program, so.
Oh.
Here we are. I don't know if you're too young for that.
We love the transparency. You're gonna like cut that out later and be like,
ooh. Ooh, kind of thing.
I love it.
Yeah, I think that might be all I have. I like to keep them kind of short, just because people and attention spans aren't very...
Oh, no. Absolutely, dude. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Was that a good episode? I liked it. I like to keep it short and sweet, so that's how we roll. But, yeah, I will get back to you guys on a more consistent basis now, because your girl has reminders. Alrighty. Chase the skeleton.